Grace, to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Almost 2,000 years ago, a man named Luke, probably a Gentile by birth, a physician by profession, and a companion of Paul, undertook the task of writing down an account of Jesus' life and ministry. We know his account as the Gospel of St. Luke. But when Luke wrote his account of Jesus' life and such, he did it as one would write a letter and not as one would write a book, meaning there were no chapters or verses. There were no numbers or red lettering. There certainly weren't any section headings or parable titles. And so what we have today when we sit down to read the Bible has been edited and added to over the years and such in a way as to help us to read, learn, and meditate and memorize the text. And I'm grateful for those upgrades, if you will. But I also question them sometimes. For example, our gospel reading this morning, which will also serve as the text for our meditation, is the parable of the prodigal son. We've all heard this parable many times before in our lives, right? It's probably one of the most familiar of Jesus' teachings, of his parables. But Luke never called it the parable of the prodigal son. Nor did Jesus. Luke simply recorded the parable which Jesus had told. And someone else, through the years, gave this parable the title of the prodigal son. And that's fine, but I think it's a bit misleading. Because you see, the parable is not really the story of a wayward son. It's actually the story of a loving and a forgiving father. He is what the story is all about. And so today I'd like to take another look at this parable. But this time we're going to take a look at it under a different title and from a different perspective. And thus our text this morning for a meditation is the parable of the loving father from Luke chapter 15. The story starts off with a man who had two sons. And the younger one comes to his father one day and says to him, "Father, give me my share of the estate that's supposed to fall to me." In other words, he was asking his dad to give him his inheritance already, even though his dad wasn't dead yet, which is another way of saying to his dad, "I wish you were dead. Or you're already dead to me." You see, this son's actions were not just about acquiring his share of his father's estate. They were a statement on how he felt about his father. And this son wanted his dad to be dead. Kind of heightens the intensity and the drama a bit, doesn't it? But rather than react in kind, the father continued to love his son, and in fact, to give him a division of his property anyway. The son soon left his father's home, and he squandered away all of his wealth on wild living in a foreign country. And when he could no longer survive on his own, he resigned himself to go back to his father, to beg his father to take him in as maybe one of the hired hands or something. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him. And he said to his servants to get him his finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. He told him to go and kill the fattened calf. We have to throw a party. For he said, this son of mine who was dead is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And then the second son, the faithful son, the one who stood by his father, man, continued through the years to help and to serve him, even when his loser brother had left. This son became angry, jealous. Couldn't understand why his father would so honor and welcome and celebrate the return of this, his bum of a brother, when his own tireless, faithful, obedient service was seemingly overlooked for so long. But again, the father, rather than react to and reprimand his son for his jealousy, the father said to his son, my son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. And so you see, the real hero of this story is the father. In love, he divided his property and gave a portion to his rebellious son, even though that son wanted him dead. And in love, this father ran to his son, and he forgave him of his many sins. And he showered him with gifts to show him that he had been fully forgiven and restored. And finally, when the older, obedient son became jealous of his younger, prodigal brother, and angry with his father for heaping his affection and gifts upon this brother, the father lovingly assured him of his place in the family, and that everything that he had belonged to him. At every turn, this story that Jesus told was meant to highlight one thing. And that one thing is this, that this father was full of love and mercy, regardless of the behavior of his sons. And so it is with our Father in heaven. He is full of love and mercy. And no matter how often we, as his children, behave or misbehave, his love and mercy remain constant and consistent. As such, David stated in Psalm 103, he said, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, but he has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And all this he does for the sake of his son, Jesus. died on a cross and who rose from a grave for us. God sent Jesus into this world because of his great love and mercy. Even though we didn't ask for it, and we certainly don't deserve it. And because Jesus suffered and died in our place upon that old rugged cross, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Even though all of us, like the prodigal son, have lived in ways that are disappointing, ways that are hurtful to God. Yet God continues to shower his blessings down upon us, and he continues to welcome us home. When we come to him and simply say the words that the prodigal said to his father, "Father, I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you." God is quick to wrap his arms around us and swift to restore us to positions of sonship. No matter what we've done, no matter how far we have strayed, yet when we come to him in repentance, he opens his arms to us and he welcomes us home. That's the message of this parable. That's why this parable should be called the parable of the loving father rather than the parable of the prodigal son. Because you see, this story doesn't revolve around the waywardness of the prodigal son or around the jealousy of the obedient son. It revolves around the love and the forgiveness of the father. In the same way, our salvation does not revolve around our willingness to follow God or our ability to be obedient to him. It revolves around his love and his forgiveness, which he gives to us freely and continuously for the sake of the sacrifice of his son Jesus. May we live every single day of our lives with that assurance for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.